itself in the case the Satan comes to collect Anayin Shmita B'day Shamayim, so I will volunteer that he should take it from me rather than take it from my brother, even though my brother Binyamin has life and he'll be able to collect it. Yesh lo nechosa, he has life and the Satan can't take his life, so I'll volunteer that he should take my life instead. Anyway, whatever it is, the Chazal established that there is a din of Orin. The Gemara has in the last perek in Masechet Kiddushin, beginning of the last perek, Asar Yechon Olui Mohim in Bavel, used the expression Olu, that they went back up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Shlosh and Aliyah. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Aliyah. When you go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlah, it's called Yirida. That's what the Pesukim say. Vayerdu Achi Yosef Asara. When they left Eretz Yisrael to go to Eretz Mitzrayim, so it says Vayerdu. And then when they returned back to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayalu. So the Gemara establishes that Eretz Yisrael Devoy and Mikol HaRasa, based on this Loshin and the Tosfos. What does that mean? Does that mean that it has the highest elevation above the sea level? Using our language, it's not true. It's this Alps are much higher, the Rockies, the Poconos, you know. Over here, the mountains in New York State are also higher. What does it mean, Eretz Yisrael Mikol HaRasa? This is just not true. It's not that it has the highest location above sea level on the globe. So the Chazanish has a whole Puntrus Yitzchak Shoed. He speaks about the issue of the international dateline. So he quotes the Rishonim, we're talking about this. He quotes the Baal HaMoor Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Dachkoch. So the Baal HaMoor quotes his Gemara. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mikol HaRasis, and then the Gemara establishes based on an additional pasuk that Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Because it says, beginning of Parsha Shoysim, if you have a shaila that you can't resolve, a machlech yisach hachamim, divrei rivis b'sherecha, v'kam tovi yaliso el hamokam, ashim ha-shem alakech, you should go to Yerushalayim. How come it says yaliso? So going to Yerushalayim is called Aliyah, and going from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak is called the Yerida. You go to any other location after it's called Yerida. Why? Because the Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So again, what does it mean? It's the highest elevation above sea level. That's not what it means as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned. That's not what it means as far as what Yerushalayim is concerned. Yerushalayim is not the highest location above sea level. There are Hori Yerushalayim, but there are other mountains that are higher than Hori Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the highest location. The Gemara itself knew that Ein Nissim was taller than Yerushalayim. That's why David HaMelech had a Havamina to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Nissim. And then the Navi told him, no, you should go down a little bit. Ein Lecha Yofer, the nicest part of the shore, Chor Shor Hodol, and so on. So he said that the nicest part of the shore is the shoulders, not the top. So you shouldn't build the Beis HaMikdash on the highest location, Eretz, which is Ein Nissim, which is on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is not the highest location. So the Baal HaMoor, Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof, says no. It means when you hold the globe, so we arbitrarily, we traditionally hold the globe in such a way, we have the North Pole on the top and the South Pole on the bottom. If you want, you could have held it for Ked. You could have a globe with the South Pole on the top, North Pole on the bottom. So that's conventionally, that's the way we hold the globe, with the North Pole on the top. So the Baal HaMoor says that halakhically, you're supposed to hold the globe in such a way with Eretz Yisrael on top, whatever is on top is the highest location on the globe. When you ask us, what's the highest place on the globe? North Pole. So the answer is, that's conventionally, you hold it in such a way that the North Pole is on top. So Halacha says, he's supposed to hold the globe in such a way with Eretz Yisrael on top, Kavoy Mikol HaRotis, and Yerushalayim on top. So you rig it, you hold the globe in such a way that Yerushalayim is on top. Why not Kemina? What do you mean halachically you hold the globe? Is Halacha which way you have to hold the globe? So the answer is yes, that's how we determine where the international date line. The world is a globe. It means that there are two hemispheres. So the Goyim also know it's a globe with two hemispheres. They have an eastern hemisphere with a western hemisphere. So we have often two different hemispheres. The upper hemisphere with the lower hemisphere. The upper hemisphere doesn't mean up until the equator and the lower hemisphere below the equator. No. The upper hemisphere means with Eretz Yisrael in the middle on top instead of the North Pole, with Yerushalayim on top, and then you go to the right 90 degrees and you go to the left 90 degrees. So you have the whole globe is 360 degrees. So if you have 180 degrees, that's one hemisphere. And then the other hemisphere is the lower hemisphere. What's the significance of this upper hemisphere? This is where Eretz Yisrael, this is when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. So the Chazal had a tradition that the Eben Shesiyah in the Kodesh HaKadosh in the Beis HaMikdash is given that name, Eben Shesiyah, Shemisham, Nishtas Kol HaOlam Kulo. The whole world extended out of the Eben Shetziyah. HaKadosh Baruch originally created that location, then the rest of the world extended from there. So that's the origin of the whole globe. So it will be relevant with respect to the international baseline. The baseline, if this is one hemisphere, so the edge of that hemisphere is 90 degrees to the east of 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Chazon Ish points out. That all of the Rishonim who discuss the issue, many other Rishonim don't bring up the issue at all. Rashi and Tosfos interpret the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf differently. But all the Rishonim who talk about the topic of the international baseline, namely all those who comment on that Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav, or the Kuzari and the others who talk about it without quoting the Gemara, so they all say the same thing, that the international baseline Chav, it turns out to be 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. It cuts through Korea, according to the Chazon Ish. And then he goes into more detail. So what do you do? So he said that this side of the street in Korea is going to be Shabbos, and that place is going to be Friday. The last place in the world to get Shabbos is going to be to the east of the baseline. First place to get Shabbos is going to be to the west of the baseline. It's on the same place in Siberia. The whole tip of Siberia is going to have a one side of the street is going to be yesterday, and the other side is on the left side is going to be today. Maybe tomorrow, the next day. So he works on the details of the law. That's the whole premise. It's based on the Gemara Chumash. Vayerdu, Vayalu, based on the Gemara, that Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol HaRosis, and Yerushalayim is Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk uses an expression when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim to buy food. So it says, Vayerdu, Achiyos HaRosol, Lishbo, B'Tur HaBoyim, amongst the other travelers who came. So the Yerushalmi has a comment on the word Toich. I think the Tosmina quoted on this Pasuk, that there's a Pasuk in Parshas Achimai, where it says, V'nigdash to the Sof B'nei Yisrael. And the Mishnah Megillah learns that for Dovah Shebikdusha, you have to have a minion, you have to have Asorah. With respect to Dinim Deraita, with respect to Dinim Derabbanan, with respect to Dinim Deraita for the purposes of Yehard Vayavah, V'nigdash to the Sof B'nei Yisrael refers to Kiddush Hashem. That Yehard Vayavah on Shara Veirus, on Shari Surim, Shaloi B'shat Hashmad, only applies to Bifahetia. And with respect to the Din Derabbanan, we usually assume as a Din Derabbanan that you shouldn't say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu without a minyan Asara. So how do you know that? Because it says in Ikdash to Bistoch B'nei Yisrael, and the Tanaim had a tradition that the word Toch has the connotation of a minyan. How do you see that it has a connotation of a minyan? So the Babli has one root, and the Yerushalmi has the other root. The Yerushalmi has this process. There were 10 brothers, and it says B'toch. So the word Toch is used in the context of 10 Jews, but that's how I know that Igdash to B'Tzoch and Israel refers to a minion of 10 Jews. The Babli has a different marker for this din. It says, so it says, with respect, there were 12 Meraglim, and two of them Yeshua called it Gilgud Report, and the other, the Rishoyim, were the 10. The Eidah HaRazot were the 10 Meraglim. So the 10 Meraglim are referred to as Eidah. And then there's another passage that the word Eidah appears in the connection with the word Toch. So you establish as a double Zereshavah, that the word Eidah means 10, and then the word Toch has the same connotation of Eidah, so that's how I know that the minyan consists of 10 people. So it's interesting that both Lekoris, both the Babla and Yerushalmi, be learning out from people who just came from Eretz Yisrael. The 10 brothers of Yosef just left Eretz Yisrael, and the Meraglim just visited Eretz Yisrael, and they just came back from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlars to give the report. 2 gave a good report and 10 gave a bad report, to give the report to Moshe Rabbein. It's interesting because the Halacha declares that Eretz Yisrael is the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara draws the contrast between Chanukah and Purim, that on Chanukah we do recite Halal, and on Purim we don't recite Halal. So the Gemara asks, how come? Why don't we recite Halal on Purim? So the Gemara gives 3 different answers. So one of the 3 answers the Gemara gives, Ashayla, which answer is the accepted opinion of Halacha? I might because there may be enough communis to redeem it. So the answer, that one answer that the Gemara gives is that you only recite Hallel on a Nes in Eretz Yisrael. The Nes Chanukah occurred in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the Nes Purim occurred in Chutz Lord. So in Onim Hallel, our Nes Shev Chutz Lord, it's only on a Nes of Eretz Yisrael. Why should that be so? Why is that so, that there's a difference between a Nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to a Nes that occurs in Chutz Lord? So there are different interpretations in that Gemara. Why is that so? So the Minchas Chinuch has an interesting interpretation in one place. He says that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. We have halachas like that. The Jews who live in Chutz Lars are second-rate citizens in this club of Klal Yisrael. The Ikid Tziruf of Klal Yisrael are the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes that the Gemara has it in. The Gemara has it for the purpose of Parhel and Oshel Tzibur. The Roy HaTzibur is Machal Shabbos, or each claim of the Dan based on a stock and error of the Bezman Gadol. So the Bezman Gadol brings the Parhel and Oshel Tzibur. So how do you calculate whether the Roy HaTzibur is in there or not? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, on Daf Gimel Bahiro, with respect to the stock of the Bezman Gadol, Halochacha Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. You only calculate whether the robe of the Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael at this time violated the Aver. The Jews living in Chutz Lars don't count because it says Vinelam Dovah Mi'eni HaKohol, and Kohol means the cloud, the Iker, Klal Yisrael, the Iker Klal Yisrael, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says in connection with Binyan Bayis Rishon, which Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beit HaMikdash, the Pasuk says Vinelam Kohol Kodol, Vinelam Kohol Kodol, Vinelam Kohol. So we know the most point in Eretz Yisrael, to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, everybody showed up to participate in the celebration on the occasion of the building of the first Beit HaMikdash. So the term that's used is Kohol Gadol. And here it says, Vinelam Dovah Mi'eni HaKohol. That's the drasha that the Gemara gives. So the Minchas Chinah quotes another Gemara, Gemara about Talmud Matar. The Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Taina says that if you live in a little village and your community needs rain, not in the normal time, so you don't say the same Talmud Matar in Baruch Aleinu, you say the same Talmud Matar in Shemat Aleinu. But if the whole Klal Yisrael needs, if Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael needs, so then you say the same Talmud Matar in Baruch Aleinu. So the Gemara says, and even if you have a whole region of Chutz Lares, so the Gemara seems to say that all the Jews in Chutz Lares are ki yichidim domo. They're only treated like yichidim. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called the tzibur. Jews who live in Chutz Lares, the Gemara has a lashon ki yichidim domo. So the Minchas Chinah quotes that Gemara. There are several other Gemaras and halachic sources to establish this principle that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute the yichid tziruf of Klal Yisrael. So when you want to have, let's say, a davisha d'gdusha, so it says, v'nigdash to b'sof b'nei Yisrael. It's supposed to have, let's say, Yehoram v'al Yavor, it's v'din der Reis, v'nigdash to b'sof b'nei Yisrael. Or v'din der Rabbanah, to say, to recite Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, you need a double shebe Kedusha, needs Klal Yisrael. So you should really need the whole Klal Yisrael, v'nigdash to b'sof b'nei Yisrael. So how can we say that a minyan is sufficient? So the answer is, Rav Soloveitchik has this in one of his essays, one of his published essays, that the minyan of 10 Jews represents the whole Klal Yisrael. Less than 10 doesn't represent. You have 10 Jews, they represent the whole Klal Yisrael. So perhaps the idea, and then just to add on another point, Avni Meza has a tshuva in Chelek Eben Ezer. He has more than one one is in Hilchos Riddus, one tshuva in Hilchos Riddus, and one tshuva in Eben Ezer. Both tshuvas he quotes the Maharal Miprag in Machshava, in Hashkafa, and he establishes the halacha based on that. He says those Jews who live in Chutz Lares are a Chelek of Klal Yisrael if they relate to Eretz Yisrael, if they view Eretz Yisrael as their national homeland, and they feel that they really belong there, they have a shaykhus there to them. He says the Jew who's so far gone, like the reformed Jews years ago in Europe and for many generations in America, they had no shaykhus. They were opposed to the establishment of Medina Yisrael because they felt that we are Americans and we're Germans and we're Hungarians. We have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. They broke their connection with Eretz Yisrael. Now the tumbling, now they're holding by Gesisa, so the tumbling, they want to gain recognition in Eretz Yisrael by the coastal knowledge. But they themselves pointed out that the whole thing is a fake. That for so many generations, the reformers, the conservatives, they're not interested in coming back to Beit HaMikdash and rebuilding and bringing karbonas. They have no interest in Shivat Zion at all. So that in Asia has a tshuva that these type of reformed people have no kesher with Eretz Yisrael. He says, I'll peep in based on the Avnei Nezer, they're not part of Klal Yisrael. They're Jewish. You can't use them as your Shabbos guard. You can have a person who's Jewish, but he's not a card-carrying member. Sometimes you have, let's say, if you have a frequent flyer card on the airplane, so sometimes you have a golden frequent flyer card. You can get upgrade, you see, you know, silver, whatever. So the real golden card, that's if you live in Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Chutz Lares and you relate to Eretz Yisrael, you're Zionist. But then you're a card-carrying member, and if you're Jewish, but you don't relate to Eretz Yisrael at all, then you're not a member of Klal Yisrael, Al Pi Allah, and he has nafkaminus ledina. He gets a ribbis, and you're allowed to charge ribbis from such a person, there's no violation of Yisrael. So he has nafkaminus l'alocha. So I thought perhaps that's the reason why both the Babli and the Yerushalmi derived this din. That the Dovish of Yigdusha, Tzorach HaStorah, they derived the din from 10 people who just left Eretz Yisrael. They derive it either from the 10 Meraglim, or they derived it, even though the Meraglim didn't want to have a Shaitis with Eretz Yisrael. They were kicking Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. But still, perhaps the Kesher is that the brothers, the Yerdach Yerzim Asoro, they just left Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim just were in Eretz Yisrael. They just left the people who come from Eretz Yisrael that tried to say that they have a Tziruf together, to make a minion of Asoro, that they should represent the whole Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says when the brothers appeared before Yosef, he was waiting to see whether his brothers were going to show up. So the Pasuk says, he recognized them. And he says, where do they come from? And then they say they come from Eretz Kinah. Then it says, it says the second time, Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Chesh, and chapter Membeis, it says the same thing, Vayaki Reim, then it says, Vayaki Yosef Vesecho. So it's a question, why does it repeat the same expression twice? I saw an interesting comment again in the Tech Kodesh. Rabbi Tzvi Lev Volozhiner has a very interesting comment, because a lot of times I see a person and I think many years went by, I'm not sure, I think that's probably my brother, that's probably so and so from such a Medina, but I can't say for sure. So I asked him, do you come from Arizona? The guy says, yeah. Oh, then I know for sure that that can't be another person. If he would say, does he live in Arizona? Then I realized that I made a mistake. So he says, Bayaki Ren, he recognized, he thought that those were his brothers. And then he asked him, where did he come from? He said, he come from Eretz Kanan. He knows for sure that those were his brothers. And that's why he repeats the second time, Bayaki Yosef Etzachov. Now he knew for sure that those were his brothers. He says, I'll bear a hapshat. Because the Midrashim asked the Kasha, why it says twice. So the Midrashim say the first time it says Bayaki Ren means that he recognized them. The second time it says Bayaki Yosef Etzachov means that he treated them like brothers. They didn't treat him like a brother. When they had the Yosef girl, they didn't treat him. So the Medrash is bothered with that question, why he repeats. So he says, Aber Chapshat, that's what it means. Why did he give him such a hard time? Why did Yosef give the brother such a hard time? So the Pashtus is the Mefarshim. So he wanted to set things up. So Reshik has a long drasha that he gave once in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and it's also published drasha. So he wanted to see if they were really Chayzer B'Teshuva. They didn't have brotherly love. If they're going to ask Mechila, if someone did an Avla bin Adam Lachaver, and he asked Mechila, so he's supposed to be Meichel him. You only Meichel him if he really did Tshuva. If the guy didn't do Tshuva, he's going to repeat the same error again. So I'm not Mechila to be Meichel him. So yes, he wanted to test him to see, I originally was the favorite son, and they were jealous of me, and they didn't have brotherly love. Now I'm going to see. Obviously, Binyamin is going to be their favorite son now, because he was the son from Rachel. So let me see, how they're going to treat Binyamin. Are they going to treat him the same way they treated me? Let him drop dead. Are they going to be Moshe Nefesh like brothers are supposed to? So when he finally saw that they're prepared to give up their lives in order to save Yom, so then he revealed himself and said, I'm Yosef and I'm Meichel you everything that you did to me. But until that point, he wasn't prepared to be Meichel them. He wanted to test them to see. The Mefarshim I wrote bothered with the Kasha. It says, Vehem Lahikiru, that he couldn't recognize him. So the Gemara says, because when he left, he was so much younger, he didn't have a beard, and now he already was clean shaven. Says he shaved before. It says Baikala. What do you mean it's clean shaven? That's Kasha. Maybe he grew the beard again. I don't know. But clear in the Sukkim. So the Mefarshim Abadah with a different Kasha. Not that Kasha. Mefarshim Abadah with a different Kasha. The Gemara says in Chulin that there is a concept of Tfiyas Ein Dekola. That you can recognize someone calls me on a telephone. That you recognize who it is before he even tells me his name. Even over the telephone, you can recognize it as Tfiyas Ein Dekola. The Gemara says, let's say I know a man who's blind, who's married. So how is he muta b'ishto balaylo? How is anybody muta b'ishto balaylo? It's dark in the room. How is a summa muta b'ishto ever? How does he know that that's his wife? So the Gemara says the answer is there's such a thing as tviyaseina dekola. Tviyaseina is recognized by the facial features. Tviyaseina dekola is a melitza, means I recognized by the sound of the voice, the tone of the voice. So how can it be the heimla hikiru? True, his facial features were different, but why couldn't they recognize him based on his... based on the tone of his voice? So the Beit HaLevi has a famous comment on this. The pasuk says, Ki HaMeilet Be'Noisam, that Yosef is making believe that he doesn't speak Hebrew. And then when he finally reveals himself to the brothers in Parshas Vayigash, then he starts speaking Hebrew. Ki Tzi HaMadaber Aleichem, I'm talking to you in Mamalosh. He's talking to you in Yiddish now. Loshna Kodesh, whatever. He's not talking in Egyptian anymore. But all along he made believe that he does know Loshna Kodesh, does know the Yiddish language. And he's talking to them in Egyptian. So the Beit HaLevi says that there's no Tfiyas Ein Dekola from one language to the other, because pronunciations are so different. one language and another are so different, it sounds like a different person. It's often not only true regarding the Tzvi HaShena disorder to be able to recognize who it is. Sometimes when a person speaks a different language, it sounds like a different personality. It sounds like it's a different, not only a different human being, it sounds like a different type of a person. And that's in a different personality sometimes, from one language to the other, because languages throw you off completely. Anyway, that's the famous comment that the Beis HaLevi made. Rashi points out that every time that Yosef HaTzadik was very careful, whenever he wants to make an oath, whenever he swears, and he knows it's not true, so he says, Chei Paro. And whenever he swears something is true, so he says, Chai Hashem. Chei Paro is a fake. He knows that Paro is not going to, he swears by the life of Paro. Paro is not going to live forever. He knows that this is baloney. So the Rambam in one place points out, why is there a difference between Chei Paro and Chai Hashem? How come you don't say Chei Hashem? How come you don't say Chai Paro? Why is it Chei Paro and it's Chai Hashem? So the Rambam explains in the Yara Hazaf, he explains that the Rambam in the beginning of Parshas Matos quotes the Sifrei, also has that contrast. Sifrei says that there's a difference between Nedim and Shvuah, like the difference between Chai Hashem and Chai Paro. Well, what in the world is that all about? There's a difference between a Nedim and a Shvuah. So the Meshech Chachma explains there in Parshas Matos that a Shvuah is an Isagavra, and Nedim is an Isachepsa, and one is a Chepsa, one is a Gavra, has to do with this secret about Chai Paro, Chai Hashem. What does it mean? So the Rambam explains that Chai Paro means a Chayim Shel Paro, that Paro could be dead. The body of Paro could be dead. When Paro is alive, so he has life. Let's say Paro has money in his pocket. So the money in his pocket is not part of the essence of Paro. So the life is also not part of the essence of Paro. Paro is a body, sometimes alive, sometimes dead. So you say Chayim Shel Paro, that's Chay Paro. So Chay Hashem, you can't say, I swear by the life of God. What do you mean? God is one entity and God has life. And sometimes he doesn't have life. It's not something separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chayim is part of his essence. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is not something added onto him. The Rambam points out we believe in one God, not only one God as opposed to more than one God. We believe in Achdus Pshuta as opposed to Achdus Merkabah. That's how the Rambam is. The being must be an intelligence, an abstract being. It's not a physical thing. So the Rambam says that's why you say Chai Hashem means that the Chayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chayim. It's not that he swears by the life of God. It's not possible to have a God with or without. It's always with, because it's part of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Chochmas Hashem, Hu B'Chochmas Echad, Hu B'Chayim Echad also. A human being, that's how the Baal HaTanya explains. A human being, when a little baby is born, he does not have any knowledge in his mind. As he grows older, so he picks up more information, and he clogs up his mind with all kinds of pieces of information, fills up his mind with all kinds of knowledge. So the Chochmah that the human being has is something in addition to his essence. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Hu B'Chochmas Echad. The Rambam claims that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Achdus Pshuta. It's not that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Chochmah. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an intelligence with a capital I, an intelligence, what the Rambam calls a Seichel Nivdok, a term from the philosophers of the Middle Ages. And then the Mekubalim say that the Torah is Chochmas Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah is really a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chochmas Echad. The Sukkim record the argument back and forth between Reuven and the father, that Reuven tells the father, I tell you what, Dad, I'll make a deal. If I don't bring Binyamin back, so you should kill my two sons. The Shnei Banai Tamis. Pretty stupid suggestion. So he says, L'yeri B'ni Yimachen. He says, I refuse. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash of B'chor Sheitu, who said, what is he, a Mora? L'homis B'chim 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 They're my grandchildren. What do you mean, I should kill my grandchildren? What kind of a stupid suggestion is that? And Mama doesn't make any sense. So there's a famous Taich that the Binyan Sion has and the Chassam Sofer, a group of Achranim, each one independently suggested like this. Reuben was the Pchor, he was entitled to Pishnayim. So he said, "Shnei bonai tomis, I'll tell you what that. If I don't bring them back, take away the tishnayim." He didn't mean kill my two sons. He says, "I'll forfeit my tishnayim if they don't get." So the father says, "That's not enough. So you'll give away tishnayim. So if you give away both shares, I don't rely on you. That's not enough to satisfy my concern." Lo yered b'ni imachem. There's a famous medrash on this pasuk. Lo yered b'ni imachem. The Rav Tarfon, whenever anybody would tell him a story that he didn't like, so he would say, "Lo yered b'ni imachem. I don't like it." Whenever someone would say a good story, he would say, "Kafta l'afera." So that expression, "Kafta l'afera," that became very popular. And after him, and we showed him also sometimes. I think the Ritzvah, every so often, the Ritzvah has a very cheerful style. In fact, in Europe, when they used to print, when they got a manuscript and they printed the Ritzvah, they would print on the sharp blot, his name was Rabbeinu Yontif, Ibn Ashbeli. Rabbeinu Yontif is the Ritzvah. So they wrote on the sharp blot on the first page, "B'chom lachem shadvarach magim, sasa v'simcha the Yontif la'yehudim." Because his name was Yontif, and he has a very cheerful style. That's how they identified, that's how they knew that the Ritzvah Shabbos was not by the Ritzvah. First of all, it's word for word the same as Iran. So how can it be the Ritzvah? Word for word the same as Iran on the rear. But secondly, it's not the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah is a very cheerful style with malitzes. Very cheerful. But the Ritzvah every so often has such a malitza. But who kafta b'afera? He always quotes exotic pshatim from the Rabban Alevi, from the brother of Rabbeinu Pinchas, Achi Rabbeinu Pinchas. Always exotic, always lebedik freilich, and sometimes he'll say, "Who kafta b'afera?" And this loshim somehow, lo yered b'ni imachem, this somehow never picked up. Lo yered b'ni imachem. Yehuda did succeed in convincing the father. What did he say? He said, "Anochi yarvenem yored tivachshenem." Well, what did that? Why did that convince the father? Why was it better than each woman said, "I'll forfeit my pishnayim"? Shnei b'nai tamis, I'll forfeit pishnayim. Yehuda didn't tell him anything. He said, "V'chatzasi l'chol kol hayomim." So why is that so convincing? So that's what the Gemara in Makis understood. V'chatosi le'ohavi kol hayomim, he was mekabel nidui bo'olam hazeh bo'olam habo. V'chatosi doesn't stop mean I'll be held responsible, I will be considered a sinner. No, kol hayomim is le'ohavi bo'olam habo. He'll be menude, he'll be in cheirim bo'olam hazeh bo'olam habo. So that's quite a thing. So the father said, "Okay, that I'll accept. I'll rely on you." And even though later on he did succeed in bringing back Binyamin to the father, and the family was reunited, nothing happened to Binyamin. Nonetheless, the Gemara learns out of Din that nidui shekilas chacham afilo al tanai miskayemis. A nidui shel atamas chacham, even though it's made al tanai, loy habiyosu elecha beitzaktit lefanecha. If I don't bring him back to the father, if I do bring him back, he's not mekabel nidui. If I don't bring him back, lechatosu be'al kol hayomim, I should be menude. But he did bring him back. Nonetheless, he was menuda. Lasha mind. So after he died, his bones were rattling in the oran when they were bringing back. So the Chazal say, Rashi quotes in the pasuk, "Itchem," that not only Atmos Yosef was brought back, but Rabbeinu was bringing Atmos Yosef. But the Atmos of all of the Shvatim came back with him when they were all buried in the shrine. All the bones of all the Shvatim were brought back because he says Itchem. They were all brought back. So the tradition had it, the Gemara Makkos called a tradition, Atmos of Shal Yehuda, they always heard rolling in his Aron, in his coffin. The bones were always rolling, they were never at rest. So he was Metabo Midui Lashamayim even after he died. Boilam Azeb, Boilam Abomim even after he died. Until Moshe Rabbeinu was Matad in Midui. He prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Shema Hashem kol Yehuda v'alama t'viyenu yod v'rov lo v'ezi mitzorot t'hiyeh." In the Vizayis HaBracha, so the Chazal had a tradition that tefillah, "Shema Hashem kol Yehuda," that was a HaTorah Sanhedrin. Afilo nidu al tanai tzorah HaTorah. That's the same, "Kil lo skochem afilo al tanai miskayenes." And nidu al tanai tzorah HaTorah is the same thing, because a nidu is a klola. A nidu is a klola. That the person should be in a state of klola. And nidui is a klala, while the person is alive, it's a curse that he should drop dead. And when the person dies, mishameis b'niduyo, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Mishnayos and the Gemara, we consider him as if he's from the Harugei Bezin. We consider him as if he died because of the curse of the Rabbanim. That's why one doesn't observe Avelus. Mishameis b'niduyo, so the Rishayim say one does not observe Avelus, just like the Harugei Bezin, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. That the Harugei Bezin, the children did not observe Avelus because the Pasuk says, "Bavod Rishayim Rina." So the same is true regarding one who is meis b'niguyo. And to demonstrate that we consider it as if he died machmas misas bezin, misha meis b'niguyo, the Mishnah says bezin soklim es arono. It doesn't mean that they throw stones on it. It doesn't mean they put a gal shalavanim to gal shalavachon. The Gemara says it doesn't mean you put a pile of stones like they did by Yochan. It means you put a big slab of rock on top to demonstrate that he deserved skila. We treat him as if he died from skila. Skila is the worst of all arba misas bezin. So Yehuda's bones were rattling in the coffin years after he died, until finally Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalin his behalf at the end of the, before Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die. So for 40 years of traveling in the desert, they were rolling around. And assumedly, even before they were traveling in the Midbar, while he was buried in Eretz Mitzrayim for a long time. They were there for 210 years, so he was dead probably for a long time. For over 100 years, 150 years or whatever. His bones were rattling the whole time because of this. Because he was Mekabo, Nidoy, and himself, Boilam Azeh, Boilam Abo, even after he died.
Is
an abstract intelligence. It writes in English, it writes with a capital R, an intelligence. Malachim, call him Nidli, Nidolim also. The Rambam wrote in Arabic, but the way they translated it into Hebrew, they called it a Seichel Nizdom. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim in Chulin regarding Oso B'Ezbeno, or regarding Kisri Hadam. You only have a mitzvah of Kisri Hadam, or you only have a din of Oso B'Ezbeno lo Sishchatu B'Yom Echad if you do a Shechita. What if you shoot the mother and the Vlad, then there's no din of Oso B'Ezbeno, and there's no din of Kisri Hadam, only if you did Shechita. What if you shechted, and it's for some reason or another, you did a good Shechita, turns out the animal is not a Nevela. Nevela means no Shechita at all. It turns out the animal is a treifa. So the shechita was mitar ben nevela, but it's not matar b'achila. So that's called, the Tanaim have a term for that. That's called shechita she'ena ruya. So that's the machlekes HaTanaim, where the shechita she'ena ruya, it's also b'achila. Shema shechita, because it wasn't a nevela, it's just a treifa. It's a shema shechita, la shema shechita. Or let's say a ganef who shechts, tovah hamachar, is chayv to pay dalet vehei. So what if the ganef shechts, and it turns out that it's a treifa, not a nevela? So is the God of Christ to say the Dalai Day or not? So that's the Machlegis HaTanaim in the Mishnah in the Ruben, the Dabar Kamen. The same Reb Shimon and the Chacham, the same Machlegis in Chulin regarding Kisri Adam and Oseh Ezbeno. So one time I learned it out from this pasuk, Kutzvoyach Tebach V'Hachim, that it says, Kralah and Beis HaShchita, that Yosef tells the chef that his brothers are strictly kosher, so when they come to the home to eat the flesh, they were eating flesh sticks and the Egyptians were eating milchiks. It says because the Kisei Behim and Mitzrayim, they didn't sit together. But you see, each one was sitting on a different table. Why? Because they were eating fleshy. That's what it says. It's first Sabbath, okay? He should shecht on every head. So they gave the brothers fleshy. Fleshy, they want to make sure that it's kosher. So the Gemara understands that show the, when you shecht the Behim, show my brothers. He didn't tell them that it was his brothers, and show these Jewish people from Eretz Canaan that you're doing a proper shechita, that they'll be allowed to eat it, otherwise they won't want to eat it. So the Gemara says, this book, from this pasuk it would appear that the term, the terminology of tzvicha, has the connotation of being shechita kshera, because if it would be a treifa, the brothers would not want to eat it. So the Chazal assumed that not only Avram Avinu came kalafer kulo, Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the Shvatim also. Otherwise, if the Shvatim didn't keep Kalat Terakula, so what's the Geraya? And this is Tanoim Adarshining with the Midrash Atanadeshim, and they're assuming that the brothers would not eat, not only would not eat Nevela, they're not going to eat Treifa. So Tzvach Tevach Achein, the term Tevach is used in the context of Shchitek Sheir, that is Mutab Achila. That's what one time it says. You learn how to Xer Shoah from this passage that Shchitek Sheir Ruya Lav Shema Shchitek.
Where did they find people who were
willing to sell everyone to the same? I don't know. Must have had some foreigner. Maybe it was one of his children, Lasher al Beiso. Yomer Lasher al Beiso. Maybe it was somebody, one of his children. At the end of the Sedra, when Yosef sends the police after his brothers, and they say somebody stole the goblet, somebody stole the Gvir HaKetzef of Yosef. So the brother. So the brothers say, "Asher yimati itam yavadecha v'meis, v'damanat nuniya ladoni l'avadim." So whoever will be caught as a ganes should be put to death, and all the others should be avadim. So Yosef's representative in negotiating back and forth says, "No, I have a different idea. Asher yimati itam yavadecha, everything one madrega lower. Whoever is the ganes will be an eved. Attempt to unikim, and everybody else is off the hook." Well, there was a debate back and forth over here whether the ganef himself is chayav misa and the accomplices to the crime should become avodim, or the ganef should become an eved and the accomplices are off the hook. So there's a famous essay in the Sefer of the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech has a Sefer Drush, and he has different essays on different topics. The Drush Sefer is called Parashas Drushim. So the first essay is regarding the status of the Yovis Kodim Matan Torah, whether they had the status of Yisrael or the status of Bnei Noach, whether Yotze Mechlal Bnei Noach only after Matan Torah or even Kodim Matan Torah. So he starts off that it's a machlekes that places in the Ramban at the end of Parshas Emor by the Megabes, that the Tosfos held that they had the status of Bnei Noach up until Matan Torah, and Rabban held that they had the status of Yisrael. And then he interprets many midrashim and many psukim based on this machlokes. So that was the whole Tosfos. The rest of the Parashas Drachim is regular standard drush. Just this one is what we call Medrash Kliya style. That he's interpreting psukim that was machlokes Yosef and the brothers, and that was machlokes Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. He has a pshetla. That's what the later generations, the different Chassidish Rebbes said, that when the Mishnah Melech Sefer came out, there was a big kitrik in Bezen Shalmail against Klavisol, why they're making way coming from the Torah with these kind of shetlach, that was a machlekes Yosef and the brothers and so on, regarding an issue of halach. Anyway, so this is part of what he has in the Sefer, this is part of his shetlach. He says that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin regarding the Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach, Azarat and Zui Misotam, that if the Gemara violates any one of the Shevet Mitzvot, he's chayav misa. In fact, the Gemara has an expression in Erezin, the beginning of Perek Hador, the first daf in Hador, that the Noach is nerag al pachas to Shevet Kuta. That if a Noachri steals even less than the Shevet Kuta, he's chayav misa. Because there's no shear of Kuta, and even less by Noachri, and even less than a Kuta, he's chayav misa. By Yisrael, who steals, he's not chayav misa, not from the Mishnah says. The Torah says the worst it could be is sometimes in Nimka Big Nevos, sometimes he's selling as an Eved Ivri. But he's never chayav misa. He wants to interpret that was the debate over here. The brother said, "Ashemati itam yavodechol v'meis kamanach niyaladoni la'avadim." Whoever will be caught as a ganev will be put to death because we have a din of Bnei Noach, and by the Bnei Noach, the accomplices to the crime, the misayeya, should be punished. They should be sold as avodim. And Yosef's representative says, "No, you guys are American, so you guys are Jewish. I'll treat you with the Jewish law. I'll treat you according to the din haTorah." Whoever the ganef is will be sold as an eved. But then the accomplices to the crime will be off the hook. They won't be punished at all. This is part of a long shekel that he has. On the closing pasuk in the parsha, that Yosef tells all the brothers, he repeats again when they come back to Yosef, and he argues that the case again. So Yehuda says, I'll serve as an evidence. Instead, so Yosef says, no. He'll be a slave. And the others, everybody's off the hook. Everybody's free. So that expression, alu v'shalom el avichem, to go up. What do you mean? To go back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yankov Avinu, Toshib Shad. So the Mekubal and the Rabbeinu Bechai quotes from the Sifrei Kabbalah that it has an additional connotation. They should go up to heaven, to Avinu Shebashamayim. That they're going to die, the Haruget Bezin are going to be, the Asura Haruget Malchus are going to die because of the Chesa Mechiras Yosef. That's how the story is depicted in the Piyut. That the Roman Russia spoke to the Tanaim and he asked, what's the din of Gonev Nefesh Vameis? Gonev Nefesh Mechlisho Vameis, what's the din? So they said the din is Eretz Chayav Misa. So they said you stole your brother, your forefathers took the brother and they sold him as an Eved. Yosef, they sold him as an Eved. So they're all Chayav Misa. So he's going to give an Einish Misa to the Asara Harugim Malchus to represent the 10 brothers who sold Yosef. So that's the Kavanah that the Sefer has, the Sefer Pirkei HaKolos. as this additional level of interpretation and the closing pasuk. That them, all the other 10 brothers, alu b'shavan al avichem, they're going to be burnt at the stake, they're going to be killed. Al kiddush Hashem, they're going to go back to heaven because of this aveir. In other words, the machlekes in Klal Yisrael is what caused all the pogroms and all the shoah and everything. There was always so much machlekes. They pointed out, many people who survived the Second World War pointed out that in Warsaw, before the war, before the Nazis killed all the Jews, there was something like 35 Yiddish newspapers, each one representing a different mislaga. The Mizrahi had, and the Aguda had, and the Turekata had, and every Hasidic group had their own, and everybody attacked everybody else. Every newspaper, all the Yiddish newspapers attacked everybody. There's so much machlokes among the Klal Yisrael. I remember Rabbi Gerelich used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, but he said that you young boys never experienced life in Europe. You didn't see what it was like. So you have an image, in Europe, all tzaddikim and kedoshim and talmidei chachamim, and the Nazis killed all of this. He says it's not exactly so. He says he learned in the Miri Yeshiva when it was at its peak, at its heyday, there were 400 talmidim. He says you forget that 400 talmidim were from 400 different cities. There weren't so many people from the same. My father-in-law learned in the yeshiva. He came from Pinsk. There was only another boy from Pinsk who learned in the yeshiva. He's the Rebbe in yeshiva. I forgot his name. He was the chief rabbi of Argentina. Back and forth, he went to Argentina, came back to YU, went back to Argentina under the Meshuggah there. Juan Peron, I think, in Argentina. Tipperstein, Rabbi Tipperstein, and the others went to work. After Bar Mitzvah, everybody went to work. They finished Cheder. They weren't sitting and learning. And he said, your boys have the imagination. Such a mistake. Rizkirov was. Rizk was all communist. They were all Afikosim. Abelbel had a handful of students. They came from out of town. They didn't live in Rizk. They came from the Miri Yeshiva to learn. But Abelbel, they had a minion, a guy sitting and learning. He said, they had no shaykhs with the Balabatim in the city. In fact, there was one time, other people said, there was one time, under the communists, whenever they didn't like someone, they would put him in an insane asylum. So the Balabatim, who didn't like Rav Avola because of his anti-Zionist position that he took all the time, they mastered to the government that they should, so they put him in an insane asylum for a couple of days. They declared that he was Meshuggah. He said it wasn't exactly so idyllic. He said it's not like it is now in Borough Park, that in every corner there's a Beis Medrash, and all the kids in every single home go to yeshiva. Everybody, they didn't all go to yeshiva, they weren't all from. They used the expression that the Gemara said that many tzaddikim were killed, many tzaddikim and kedoshim term were killed. They said they shouldn't have the impression that they were all so religious. Look, they were all killed al kiddush Hashem, but they have the status of tzach hasidecha b'chai tzayor, they're considered chassidim. Because the kintilim refers to one who's killed al kiddush Hashem, even if he was a non-believer, is referred to as a chassid. But he said, the Gemara has an expression, Kimcha Tchina Tochan. The Gemara says when they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, they shouldn't wonder, how did they succeed in having a shlita over the holy Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara has a lashon, Kimcha Tchina Tochan. They were grinding up flour that had already been ground up. It means that the Jews had sinned. And the Jews had sinned so much that the Jews had caused the Beis HaMikdash to crumble. And when the Romans came in, they were just grinding up flour that had already been ground up. So that was the comment that he made at that time. The bitter comment to make the people who went through the war, they're not going to want to hear that it's not true 100%. There's certainly many tzaddikim and Torahim were killed by the Nazis. But most of the Jews at that time, the overwhelming majority, were not observant at all. They were anti-religious. And they were full of machlokes. The Klal Yisrael was full of machlokes. And many essays have been written about this topic. Something like 38 newspapers in Warsaw before the war. Each Yiddish newspaper, each one arguing, fighting with the other group. So the machlokes and the sinas achim among the Klal Yisrael. There was a period of time where the Hasidim didn't get along with each other, so they would put rusty nails in the mikveh of the other Hasidim that they should get blood poisoning. Might as well show you that Hasidim killed each other over issues of machlokes, whether my Rebbe is the biggest Rebbe or your Rebbe is the biggest Rebbe. Some of them must be some Hashkafa issues also involved. I'm not familiar. Somebody held the other Rebbe was an Apikuris, and the other Rebbe was an Apikuris. But that's the day after that there were occasions of Shlichas Domim Mamish, that they got carried away. So that's the famous Medrash about the Asara Harubim Malchus, and the Rebbe is in this passage. That all the sorrows that the Jewish people suffer are basically due to their own fault, that there's so much Sinas Chinam and machlokes. Let me just close with a comment on Hanukkah. The Chazal say that still the Shon quotes this comment from the first Perek in Kedushin, that Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Kavlin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he created a Yetzahara, and he has a medicine that works. If you sit and learn Torah, and talk of Machal Manuvo Mazeh, Mashkeha the Beis HaMedish, if this ugly Yetzahara bumps into you, to schlep him into the Beis HaMedish with you and learn, and that's the way you will succeed in fighting against the Yetzahara. So can it be that you prescribe the same medication for all diseases? Whatever you have, just take an aspirin, take two aspirins and it'll get better? No. Sometimes you need this medication, sometimes you need the other medication. Torah works for everything. So the Chazal seem to have understood that depending on what the Yetzahara is, you need a different Torah. So in the Kuf, and during this period of the Bayis Rishon, until the beginning of the Tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, the big thing, the big Yetzahara was for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara in the last paragraph of Sanhedrin relates the way the Amoraim are talking about some of the biblical figures, and they said, terrible, terrible, I've been Avodah Zarah. But one Amora says to the other one, you don't realize, if we would have lived at that time, we would have been running to worship Avodah Zarah also. That was the in thing. It was such a tither. It was such a desire. We don't understand it. We don't have any tither. I have other tithers. But that tither to worship Avodah Zarah, we don't even appreciate what it means. But at that time, during the Tzufa Bayis Rishon, there was a tremendous tithe to worship Avodah Zarah. And this lasted till the Chazal had a tradition, till the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were mispalel. When they came back from the Yeshiva Mishan of Avodah Zarah, they mispalel to kill the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered their prayers. That's how the Gemara in Yuma interprets the whole parsha in Zechariah. A lot of difficult parshas there in Zechariah. Rashi writes in Zechariah, the most difficult novi, we don't know what he's talking about. So one of the parishes talks that they had a box, and they put something, the Risha was in a box. No one knows what's going on. So the Gemara Yuma says that was the Ashrei Knesset HaGedolah, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, where Mispalel to kill the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, and they succeeded. But then started a new Yetzirah for Apikursim. The Mishnah says in Brachas that Mishikil Kalu Haminin, when the Apikursim started to give a lot of trouble, and they didn't believe in Olam Abba, it's felt that we live in Olam Hazeh, there's no Olam Abba. So his kinu, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah introduced that in the Beit HaMikdash, whenever you say a bracha, you always say, Baruch Hashem min ha'olam liyad ha'olam. Always to emphasize the fact that we do believe in Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba. Olam Hazeh you don't have to believe in, but we believe in Olam Abba as well. So when did that happen? When did they introduce that nusach, min ha'olam liyad ha'olam? So the Maariv Chayes and others point out on that Mishnah and brachas that it was the first day. They opened the Holy Temple on the High Holiday. It says they opened the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. And Ezra got the first Aliyah, he was a Kohen. And he said, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavaroth, that's described in the Nehemiah. And he said, Baruch Hashem Min Ho'el Mat Ho'elam. He said right away, from the first day, that they opened the second Beis HaMikdash. There was already Mishikil Kulu Aminim. So it seems to be a description of the whole Tzkufas Baishen, that the big in thing at that time, from that time on, was the Yetzahara for Apikursus. Not to the exclusion of other Yetzirah. The Gemara says that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah succeeded in killing the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so they saw that it was an Eitz Ratzon, so they pushed further, so that Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should stop the Yetzirah for Gilui Arayis. So no one had any desire for sex. So the chickens weren't laying any eggs, the Gemara says. The chickens laying eggs also has to do with the Yetzirah for Zohar and Akedah. So that, and then no one had a desire to be with their wives, the women didn't have a desire to be with their husbands. That would be the end of the world. No eggs, you can live without eggs, but there are no people, no world, the behemoths are not going to have, no blood, is nothing. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah realized that's not a good idea, so they prayed to the Bnei Shalom, cancel the last success, let's go back to the old system, leave the success about the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, and then give us back the Yetzirah for Gilui Arayis. The Gemara says it helped a little bit. The Gemara says the prayers helped a little bit. The Gemara says that now there's only a Yetzirah for Eishes Ish. There isn't such a Yetzirah for other Arayis. The main Yetzirah is for married women. Okay, the people have affairs with other women. But to have a Boalim, a Boalbita, a Boalachosa, that's rare. It happens, but it's rarer than it used to be in earlier generations. The Gemara assumes because of the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that it was accepted lachatzon. So the big Yetzirah that we have from that time on, till Adai Yom Hazeh, till Bias HaMashiach, is the Yetzirah for Apikursus. So it would appear from the Gemara that Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi LaTorah Tavlin, and different Yetzirahs need different Torah. The Tkufa of Torah Shebichtav was up until the days of Esther. Chazal say that Megillas Esther is Nikrit Sefer and Nikrit Sigeret. It's included in the Kisei HaKodesh. The Gemara says it was Nemo Baruch HaKodesh Lehikot Sefer should be written, but there's a Machlokes HaTanaim and a Machlokes HaMoraim where it belongs in the Kisei HaKodesh, either 23 or 24. Svarim in the Kisei HaKodesh should be accepted. Psak is that there are Chofdal in the Kisei HaKodesh, Chofdal Svarim in the Kisei HaKodesh, including Esther. Esther is part of the Kisei HaKodesh, but not 100%. The Gemara says Nikris Igeret. On the one hand, Nikris Sefer, it's Sefer from the Kisei HaKodesh, but it's also Nikris Igeret has that there's a little bit, not so much, not the same as all the other Kisei HaKodesh, a little less. Because that was the beginning of the period of the big development of the Torah Shabbat Peh. On the occasion of the Nes Purim, when Israel accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh Berotan, originally at Har Sinai, it was Kapalem Harki Gigas on the Torah Shabbat Peh, and then they accepted it Berotan. So it would appear, if you put together the Gemara, it would appear that the Torah Tavlin, the antidote for the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, is mainly the Torah Shebichtav and Azim. And the antidote for the Yetzer Hara of Apikursus is mainly the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why the Tanoim advise in the Gemara Brach is Minim Benechem Mihi Goyon. Don't let your children study so much Higayon. Naza Higayon, philosophy, logic. The Rashi says it refers to Tanakh. By the Ashkenazim, they had a tradition. The Sephardim didn't have this tradition. A few places in Shulchan Aruch you see like that. By the Ashkenazim, they had a tradition to emphasize more the limud of Torah Shebaal Peh than Torah Shebichtav. In this period, in the earlier period, it was the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, in all the periods. But during the period of the Bais Rishon, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the school for the Bais Sheni, the emphasis was more on the Torah Shebichtav. And after that period, the emphasis was more on the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's how it says in the Seder Olam Zuta. There's an expression that from the everybody was learning Tanakh, Mitzor HaKsav, and figuring things out from the Tzuris Oisiyoy until the days of Ezra. And then the times of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, it has a Lashon Mikan V'Yelech, it says something about you should listen Hatoz Nechoshma Divei Chachamim. You should listen to the Chachamim who are developing Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's what the Chazal have in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Ruya Hoyt Torah Shetinos and Ayidei Ezra. Torah should have been given Ayidei Ezra, but Moshe Rabbeinu Chaptamoy, so he gave it already earlier. So in order to symbolize the fact that it was Roy to be given Ayidei Ezra, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed to Ksav, Machlekes HaTanaim, and that's the accepted opinion, general accepted opinion, that the script in which the Sefer was written was changed during the time of Ezra, Benevuah, that it should be Ksav Ashur, Ksav Sholei Mar Me Ashur. This is the script that came from Bavel, from Ashur. That an earlier generation had a different Ksav. So in the earlier generation, they were able to be Medayik things from the Tzuris Oisius. Now we have a different Tzuris Oisius. It's going to be different Diyukim. So Mikan Yeva, to say the Rebbe Mezuzah says, Mikan Yeva, no more Diyukim from the Tzuris Oisius. We have Hat Osnach Oshma Divi Chachom. The main emphasis should be on the Torah Shabbat. That apparently the Torah Tavlin, the antidote for Apikursus and Ninus, is to be found more in the Torah Shabbat Peh than in Torah Shabbat Peh. And this is not over yet. This is going to be a long fight until Yemos HaMashiach. We have more, it's hard to say, more or less. In every generation, Peshit Tzur, Velevish Tzur, Apikursus has different shapes and forms. You have Haskalah, and you have Reform, and you have Concerta, and you have Modern Orthodox. Every couple of years they develop a new organization with a new philosophy, a new Ashkaf, and it's all another form of Apikursus. But all another form. And the main thing is we have to be mechazik ourselves in Lima Torah with the special emphasis on Torah Shabbat Peh. That seems to be the special antidote for the Yetzer Hara of Apikursus. And you look in the Rambam, also interesting. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Sefer HaMitzvah has such a lashon. That the Kol HaTorah that we have today is straight ish mipi ish ad Ezra v'ad Moshe Rabbeinu. That funny lashon ad Ezra v'ad Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he stick in Ezra for? He said ish mipi ish all the way till Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he have this? He could have said until Rabbi Yudah Anasi. No, he didn't have Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yudah Ravashi. No, he leaves them at Ezra. Because the Gemara says that Ezra played a role. Ruya hoy satoshit tinasan ad Ezra. The Ksav was mishtanis. It seems Ezra was the beginning. He was from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That was the beginning of the Tzufas Bais Sheni. But the emphasis was more on the Torah Shema Peh. So there was a change in the Derech HaLimud from the Bais Rishon period to the Bais Sheni period because there was a change in the world. It was a change in the Yetzer Hara at that time because of the tzivus of the Anshei Knesset Knesset. So we have to be mechazik ourselves on Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shabbat Seder, because Chanukah was prophesied in advance by the Navi Chagai. It's going to occur during the period of Bai Sheni. It's going to have to do with this Muhammad against Abi Kuba. Okay. I think it's right now.